This is Radio 4. It's now 2 minutes past three.
The Old Pals Act by Frederick Bradnam. The Old Pals Act.
Good evening, Colonel Epplethwaite.
Good evening.
Colonel Jenkinson, Major Carlton. Good evening, dear ladies also.
Good evening.
When you arrived, I was fighting with the chef, as usual. But I hope the meal is to your satisfaction.
Oh, I think it is, Gerard. Any complaints, anyone?
It's excellent, thank you, Gerard.
As ever, Gerard.
Thank you, Mrs. Calthorpe. Mrs. Jenkinson.
Gerard claims he comes from a place called Beaulieu sur Dordogne.
Beaulieu sur Dordogne.
Is that right?
Which is in France, I take it.
Well, don't you believe him, John, or what?
I don't know. It doesn't. Doesn't matter.
But he has to come from somewhere, darling.
Has no one noticed the date?
What for, Madge?
What for, Basil? It's May the 11th.
The 11th of May.
So?
Oh, good Lord.
Friday, 11th of May. So it is.
Why were you surprised, Jean?
Well, let me say it. I began it. Something happened to two friends of ours on this day. 18 years ago.
So he did. So he did. Long time ago.
You're better forgotten, I'd say.
We can't forget it, can we? Well, we don't have to celebrate it either, do we, Madge?
Well, I wasn't suggesting we should, Arthur, was I? It was only that I thought it a coincidence. Our usual gathering falling on this date, when it never has before.
Coincidence? I'd forgotten the date years ago.
So you wouldn't know a coincidence if you saw one, darling.
Nasty things, coincidences. Or can be.
Have been. Huh? Isn't that what you mean?
Oh, boys, please. Let's just drink to absent friends. Yes?
It'll do no harm, will it? I remembered yesterday, in fact. 18 years, I said to myself, and felt as old as Father Christmas.
Aren't we all? Well, absent friends.
Yes, absent friends.
Absent friends.
Well, that's that. No more talk of them now, please.
No, could agree more.
Did you sort out that business at the Starwater Bridge, Arthur?
Starwater? Yes, I did.
Yeah, well, most contractors are idiots. Their idea of skilled labour is an Irishman who can count up to 10.
Oh, look, everyone. Huh? Don't think I've gone funny in the head or taken to seeing things since we thought of absent friends. But just now, Gerard showed a couple to that table in the corner opposite. Mm-hmm. No, don't look.
The rather good-looking blonde girl?
Yes, the man with her.
I can't see him properly.
Well, I can. What about him?
Jean, he's facing you. Doesn't he remind you of someone?
Someone? Whom? Who? Oh, I think I see what you mean. Good Lord, yes. What a coincidence. Older, of course, but he could be the same.
Basil and I have our backs to that table, so what have you seen, Arthur? Jean?
Someone who is the smitten image of a man we knew, all of us, 18 years ago, give or take a few months.
It can't be him, Arthur. He'd have gone abroad.
It could be him, though. But he must have seen us, if it is him.
He's looking straight at me with not a flicker of recognition.
Yeah, he used to look at one like that, didn't he? When he felt like it. Far away, lone wolf, so on.
Hmm? There's a girl with him, did you say? Young?
Younger than any of us. Or him. 30 or so. Smart. Bit of a smasher.
Oh, well, then it can't be him. And how would he get hold of such a piece?
Yeah, I'll tell you one day, Baz. He certainly is like I think he would be, if you see what I mean.
No. It's auto-suggestion. Isn't that the term? I mean, we're all thinking about the past, and in comes a man who has some sort of resemblance to a man of that time, and so you think it's him. Well, I'm going to get up and go to the men's room and have a deco.
Me too. Oh. Only I'll use the ladies' powder. Excuse me.
Basil Jenkinson and Madge Hepperthwaite getting up.
Marching to the loos. Having an eyeful of you, Tom.
And you. Madge has put on weight. Basil still has that rodent touch about him. Like a gerbil in a fuss, we once said.
Pick out the others for me, Tom.
Straight ahead, Madge's husband, Arthur Hepperthwaite.
Uh-huh.
Got fat, too. Not a bad bloke, inclined to be pompous. Oh, used to like the sound of his own voice, rather. Next to him, Jean Calthorpe, the dark lady of the regiment.
Oh.
Still dark-haired, kept her looks and her figure, I'd guess. I can't ask her to stand up, can I?
I don't think so.
Sharp as a knife was Jean. John, her husband, is on her left, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Still got that straw hair, that long, gloomy face. A secretive, pessimistic type. An ambiguous sort of bloke, I always thought.
And the other woman? The hard-faced one?
She must be Judith Jenkinson. She's really changed. It is her. I can see that now. Life with Basil can't be much fun. She was beautiful, alive and sexy.
Basil was the paymaster chap, wasn't he?
You do listen to me, Joanna.
Of course I do. Basil was the paymaster to the Regiment of Royal Engineers, sappers, as they say. Hepperthwaite and Calthorpe were the captains, R.E. Now they're all retired from the army.
Arthur and Basil got to be half colonels. John stopped at the uncomfortable rank of major.
I'd say they live round these parts and still work at something. They look comfortably off, as my old mum used to say. What would they do?
The sappers get jobs as civil engineers. Paycor lieutenant colonels become accountants, at a guess.
Madge, coming back. Did she always walk with her behind stuck out like that?
Yes, a mother hen walk. But Madge was tough and no fool. Basil, having another look as he returns to port.
Oh, yes. Yes, he scuttles like a gerbil. Did any of them have kids?
When I knew them. I don't think they intended to. I think Basil has decided I'm not the bloke I am.
Yes, I noticed. A quick stare, then a look of relief.
I'm surprised in a way they ever thought they'd once knew me. I know I've changed.
But you knew them, didn't you? And they've changed.
True enough. Except for Judith, she's different.
Yes, well, as you said, life with Basil can't be much fun. They're not making any move. They've ceased to find us interesting. How nasty of them.
We'd better have a look at the menu. Moule à la crème? They're having a good laugh. The danger's over. I'd like the tournée d'auberge.
Oh, I'll join you. You didn't give them a flicker of recognition, did you?
Not a flicker. I saw them as we came in. They didn't see me.
I'll start with les œufs en cocotte.
Will you? That'll add a bit of weight.
Oh, balls. But you thought to yourself, let lying dogs sleep?
Precisely. No point in hoisting the Jolly Roger, was there? We may never see them again.
You think that's likely?
No. We haven't touched our drinks. Here's to us.
Yes. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, no. They're part of the town. They've been here for years. The restaurant staff know them well.
Yes.
With luck, we can steer clear if we want to.
And if they want to. Well, you did say, didn't you, that you may knock into some old chums here.
Yes, I've been ready for it. But these six are special. Oh,
the town's full of their sort, Tom, bound to be. Look at the military history buried in the cathedral. I used to like reading the names of the fallen when I was a loathsome child, you know, looking for the funny ones. Sergeant Muckwatchet. Captain Horsebottom.
What about Major Percy Pike?
He never fell in battle, did he?
Arthur's having a word about you, I'm sure. What's she to that old chap sort of thing?
Old? You're only 53, mate. And I'm not so young.
18 years younger. When it happened, you were in your crib.
Well, good for you, then. Perhaps I should start with pot-au-feu. Yes, I don't suppose they'd really expect you to have a youngish wife, would they?
They'd expect me to be old before my time, broken up and hopefully out of the country.
Not here, anyway. But I don't think they'll seek you out.
No. Conscience will make cards of them. And here's the waitress. Are you having fatso or thinny puff starters?
Look out for a parking space, will you, Jean?
Okay. Was that him the other night, Madge?
It was, wasn't it?
Oh, look, there on your right. Chap just leaving.
I'll talk when I've parked, otherwise I'll make a complete pig's breakfast.
Oh, in front of that new boutique, I see. It's large, isn't it?
We better go and have a gander at it. Oh, do you want time for a ciggy first, though, you old addict?
Ah, thanks.
Pike. Was Pike all right? We had to pretend, though, that it wasn't. It would have spoiled the evening otherwise.
No, it did not. Yes, it did in a way. Judith hardly said a word. I can't get out of John whether he believes it was or not. But that's John, of course. And Arthur?
Oh, he came clean in the end and admitted it must have been him.
Judith knew it was, that's for sure.
Judith would have done anything for him 20 years ago. Basil will take a bit of convincing.
As he grows older, our Baz grows more and more pedantic about things he's no real knowledge of. Have you noticed?
Oh, Lord, yes. Why the hell was he so sure Pike was abroad? Why was he so sure Pike couldn't be with a young woman in a restaurant? That's wishful thinking, I imagine. Wishful thinking is better if it remains a thought.
I suppose Basil has more on his conscience than any of us.
I suppose he has. I wonder who the girl was.
I had a vague feeling that I'd seen her before. Perhaps she's local.
Oh, don't say that. I was hoping they were both only passing through. Wishful thinking.
Yes, he saw us all right. They both did. They gave you and Baz a good looking over when you went walkies to the loo.
Without a glimmer of interest, let alone recognition. Have we all changed so much? We're unrecognisable after 18 years.
I had that ghastly thought, too. But then I thought he may well have seen us first. You know, when they arrived and decided to play it cool as cool. And he always did have that ability to remain poker-faced about things.
Hard-faced bastard when he wanted to be. Oh, I hope he hasn't come back here to haunt us.
I did wonder, too. It's a ghastly thought, isn't it, Madge?
Why now, Jean? Why not earlier? And what good would it do him?
What harm could it do us?
Right. What shops do you want?
M&S. Oh, yes, and the shoe repairers.
I must buy some food. Oh, and Everett's have a book for me. Shall we see what this splendid new boutique has to offer?
Yes, why not? Even if what's on offer wouldn't fit any female over 25.
Oh, at least the music is not deafening like most.
And there's a bit of space to walk around in.
Oh,
now I like those tops. Could I wear one? Or would I look like mutton dressed as lamb?
No, you wouldn't. You've kept your figure, you lucky cat. I'm about 90 round the chest these days.
Rubbish. Madge, over there.
standing at Sales. The lady who was with him the other night.
Yes, it is her. Sales? She's dressed better than any of us. Oh, I think she's coming over.
Can I help at all?
I was wondering, these tops. I don't like this shade of yellow, but I'd like a yellow.
Oh, there are some lighter yellow ones round here. The manufacturers call this primrose. What do you think?
Well, it's the right yellow. Can I wear it, Madge?
It suits you, Jean. I should have it. Oh, and it's far from expensive.
Is this one my size? It looks okay.
Yes, I think so. It's a fairly loose fit, of course.
I'll take it. Thanks for your help. Now, where do I pay? Oh, yes, I see. Won't be a tick.
How long have you been open?
This is our second week.
Are you the manager?
At present. I own it, in fact.
Oh.
I'm looking for a manageress, and they keep sending me girls who can't speak the Queen's English and have no manners.
I know exactly what you mean. It's a shame in a town like this.
Yes, I grew up here. It wasn't like it is now, and that's not so long ago.
Oh, Jean, this lady...
Joanna Craig.
Joanna Craig tells me she grew up here.
And you've been away?
Yes, for some years. Then I married, and my husband, who knew the town from long ago, suggested we might come back. He's found an antiquarian bookshop for sale here.
Which one was that?
Brown and Black. Such a ridiculous name. Market Street. So, here we are. Tom has his old books and I have my new boutique.
We wish you well, don't we, Matt?
We do indeed. May both shops go well.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. Good morning.
Are you telling me, Judith, that this woman, Craggs...
Oh, for heaven's sake, Basil. Joanna Craig.
All right, Craig. You mean she's laid it all out on the line for Madge and Jean, whom she didn't know from Adam?
From Eve, surely. Why ever not?
Well, why should she?
Don't be so obtuse, Basil. Because it was a friendly chat. The sort of chat women have when they're out shopping and they meet the shop's owner. It's good for trade. Well, surely you accountants sometimes chat each other up or chat up your clients. Don't look at me as if I was an imbecile.
What's got into you, Judy?
Nothing's got into me. It's only that your attitude, which seems to be a mixture of dog in the manger and an ostrich in the sand, annoys me.
All I'm getting at is that Madge and Jean went looking for trouble.
What trouble?
You know what trouble, Judith. You were in on things, remember?
So you do believe that Craig is our old buddy?
Could be. If he is, what's it matter? That sleeping dog's lie. He can do us no harm, but he can't do us any good.
I wouldn't be too sure of that. On the first count, Baz.
Well, nonsense. Of course he can't.
You don't sound very sure. And you spoke of looking for trouble.
It was a figure of speech, no more.
Cobblers. Perhaps if we say hello and how are you, it'll defuse trouble.
The truth is, you want to meet him again, right?
I want to be sure it is him. Of course I do.
Judith, did you go to bed with him?
No. No, I never did.
You sound unhappy about it.
I am. I missed out. I was dotty about him, you know that. But he wouldn't look at another woman, as you must well remember.
And now you want to open the grave.
I want to know it is him. Really him. And what he's like now. Yes. That's all.
Well, I can't stop you. Wouldn't try to. But it's on your own head, Judith.
Excuse me, but is the proprietor, Mr. Craig, about?
He's in the office, I think. Are you a rep?
A what? Oh, a rep. No. No, I'm just an old friend, oh. And I was passing by.
What name is it, please?
Judith. Just say Judith. Hell, I must sound like a blackmailing tart.
Would you come this way, please? Mr. Craig's in here.
Thank you.
I wondered who Judith was. Have a seat.
So it is you, Tom. Tom Pike.
It is me. Only now I'm Tom Craig. Deedpole.
We saw you the other night in the restaurant. Gerard's.
Yes, I know. I saw you all first.
Did you? Mm. You gave no sign of it.
No. We thought it best, Judith. We, that is Joanna, my wife and I, we knew something like this might happen. Not necessarily with you and your friends, but since we'd come back here, we knew we might come up against the past, as it were. We decided not to make the first step, should it happen.
But your wife spoke to Madge and Jean in her boutique.
I know. She found them both so inquisitive that she thought it was best to mention a few facts.
And see who'd take the bait.
See if anyone wanted to.
Seeing you again. It's like coming across a ghost.
I'm no ghost, Judith. I'm here to stay.
Where did you learn about books?
Where do you think?
Now I'm here, I don't know what to say.
And I can't help you, I'm afraid.
The trouble is, anything we can say is involved with...
Let's say the past, shall we?
The past. Dead and buried. Old bones.
For you, perhaps. For me, in a way, it's still flesh and blood.
Yes. But none of us will mention the past unless there's no way we can avoid it. And then we'll throw it away with a light laugh.
I can imagine that. But you've had no reason to mention things gone, dead and buried, have you? Any of you?
Hardly ever until now. That doesn't mean we've erased it from our memories, Tom. We remind each other of it every time we see each other. We've been bound together by the past ever since, the six of us, for 18 years. Don't you see how terrible that is?
I'd certainly say it was inexorable.
Now I think I know what I want to say.
What?
We should exorcise the ghost of time past. We should stop feeling haunted by things. We must talk about what happened and try to resume a friendship. Or at least to modus vivendi. Anything to stop us having to look over our shoulders all the time. And since you're here, we must accept you, and we must explain things. We must all come clean.
Judith, don't tell me that. Tell it to them.
Strikes me that our ladies have landed us in the mare.
Mm. Yeah.
Cheers, Basil. John.
Cheers, Arthur. We need them.
Yeah.
Couldn't stop Judith when she had the bit between her teeth. Anyway, you know she was madly in love with him once. Unreciprocated, let me add.
So was our friend nice to her? Polite? Charming?
No, John. I gather that he was distinctly off-putting.
Thing is, what are we going to do about the blighter? Here he is in our town, as large as life, back from the dead... And what are we going to do about it? Personally, I'd like to have him booted out. See that his customers and hers get to know things.
Oh, stow it, Arthur. That wouldn't be a good idea, even if we could bring it off.
Well, we have to defend our patch, don't we? What do you suggest?
Well, that we apply reason to the problem, not rhetorical bullshit.
What about having a word with his girl, Yes, what's her
Joanna
name?
Joanna Craig.
Mm.
Well, what for?
John is being his usual unhelpful self, Baz.
Well, two against one, anyway. We could perhaps explain to her how bloody difficult our husband's reappearance is for us. Tell her it's not the done thing to come back and haunt one's old pals.
And who do you suggest takes that on?
Well, Jean wouldn't. And Judith's done her stint.
Mm.
Look here. I suppose the girl does know all there is to know about the life of our hero and about us.
The lives of the villains, you mean?
Judith thinks he's told her all. Although why she thinks that, I've no idea.
If I can believe Madge, the way Joanna spoke to her and Jean seems to point in the direction of her knowing very little. Or does it? God
knows. Remember, when she talked to Madge and Jean, she wasn't talking to complete strangers, was she? Now, Pike, Craig, admitted to Judith that they'd seen us that evening.
So, that Joanna girl was saying, I'll say, on purpose.
Well, it could be. Floating the bait, if you see what I mean.
And along came old Judy and snatched it up.
Right.
In other words, he wants us to know he's here, and here to stay.
Whether he got here by chance or on purpose.
According to his wife, he discovered a bookshop for sale.
Which he's bought. But it wouldn't be at all difficult to discover our whereabouts, now would it?
No, look in the phone book. So is he here to rub our noses in the dirt?
He never knew the truth, did he?
That's a point.
Yeah.
Yes, it is indeed. If that's what he wants, all we need to do is refuse to help.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, tell him to take a running jump.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, perhaps as Judith said, guessed rather, he wants nothing from us except to acknowledge him again.
Why? That doesn't sound like Tom to me, unless he's changed his spots completely, grown humble, peaceful, and nice to all.
We're on the horns of a dilemma, all right.
Oh, you can say that again. There's nothing we can do, is there?
But wait and see.
Agreed, Tom?
What sort of letter?
I have drafted something, simple and open.
I might have guessed.
From me, nice little woman stuff. Listen. Dear Madge and Arthur Hepperthwaite, as I don't really know them, I put their surnames in, and ditto with John and Jean and your old flame and Basil. I would be delighted if you could come to dinner on the 19th. I should so like to meet you, out of my shop, that is, and I know that Tom would be happy to renew an old friendship, and so on and so on.
Yes, good. It sounds as if I've been persuaded and you're curious, all of which is most reasonable.
It could work the trick, and curiosity is a very strong emotion, even in the most phlegmatic of us.
John, are you asleep?
Oh, I was almost. Good night.
That was Madge ringing. Oh. You pretended not to hear, I know.
At this hour.
11 o'clock isn't late.
It's past my bedtime, late or not. Good night.
She and Arthur have been away. Got back this evening and found the same letters we've had, and Baz and Judy have got. Imagine Arthur want to accept. They think it's her, Joanna's idea, obviously, and no harm will be done in accepting.
Oh, I can't see Tom writing, can you? Good night.
Judy says she'll go. Basil is in two minds.
Oh, when is Basil not? I'd like to sleep on it, as I said.
She wants to meet us, of course. But she seems a very reasonable girl. Yeah. Lots of common sense. I think we ought to accept. If we find it uncomfortable, well, we gently lose the acquaintanceship. Give a dinner party back. One of us does. Then go our own ways. And if we bump into either of them, say, oh, we must meet up sometime and do nothing. They'll get the message. John?
Oh, God.
Must you pace the blasted bedroom, Basil, as if it was the blasted heath?
Yes. You go to sleep, Judith, if you want. You've made up your mind. I haven't. I can't see my way. It's all clear.
How the hell can I go to sleep when you can't see your way clear?
Oh, she, Joanna,
Craig.
Craig says that Tom wants to renew an old friendship. Now, why should he want that? It's not the sort of thing people in his position do. No, she wants it, that's it. I mean, the gesture ought to come from us, of course. I don't trust that letter. I never trusted him. It seemed too much an open book.
That's funny. You used to complain that he was too secretive, a loner.
Because he never properly joined in, that's all. He was never one of the regiment. Not like the rest of us, he was out for himself.
He wouldn't join in the old pals act, you mean? It was just as well in the end, wasn't it?
Mind you, he could be a very different person now, of course. Didn't you feel that he was very different, Judy?
No, I didn't. I told you what I thought. He's the same, only more so.
Mm. Well, I wouldn't mind meeting him, I must admit, finding out how he got on, you know, what it was like.
It must have been hell.
Yes. No, she obviously wants to meet us. Yeah, simple sort of girl, probably. He'll still have his money, of course. And more. Interest not touched on investments, that sort of thing. Now, I'd say he's a rich man.
Well, you like rich men, Baz. Here's your chance to meet a new one. Or an old one all over again.
He might need an accountant.
Oh, God.
Well, he can't know many people of his sort anymore, can he? Probably he's finding life a bit dull. Socially, that is. Yes, I bet they both are. And curiosity, too, comes into it, of course. She wants to have a look at his old pals. Probably he does as well. She wants to hear about what life was like when he knew us. The regimental life. Yes. She probably wears the trousers. She's a damn sight younger than him. And she doesn't want him to get in a rut. Go broody on her. Now, perhaps he needs bucking up.
Yes. And perhaps he does need an accountant.
Oh, suffering cats weren't in it. What a hangover.
You weren't the only hangover merchant that day, Arthur. I was paying out the other ranks and the blooming notes were jumping up and down whenever I looked.
I don't remember all that much of the evening. Oh. I'm not surprised.
Tom was sober, I believe he'll remember. In fact, I doubt if he'll ever forget.
No, don't tell me, please.
As it was my party, I saw to it that I remained more or less sober. I won't say a word against you, Jean.
But what did I do?
When I got you to bed, you kept falling out. But that was later.
Arthur couldn't get his trousers on for hours. Damned regimentals always were as tight as an nun's posse. His legs must have swelled. Nothing else happened.
What did I do?
Do you remember old Frumpy? Oh. He was speechless and legless. Yes. Sat in the CEO's chair and couldn't move to save his brain.
Old Frumpy? Who was he when he wasn't speechless?
Brigadier Frumpington Blythe. A rather awful man who never stopped talking, putting his fat face nearer and nearer when he did, and breathing a mixture of garlic and whiskey.
He came to a sad end. Fell off a horse into a ditch. The animal fell on top of him.
That horse knew what he was doing, all right.
Yes. And you can't try a horse for murder.
But what did I do? I didn't know what I was doing, did I?
I didn't know Frumpy had died. I didn't know he rode, even.
He did, but not very well.
So, that, Joanna, was Tom's majority party.
I got mine 7 years later. We were all more sober by then.
No, it took me 5. They began to cut back by then. Bloody politicians, they're all the same.
As the hardware grows more expensive, so the men must come cheaper and fewer.
Whenever I ask Tom to describe an officer's life in a garrison town, he says there's nothing to describe.
I also said it never changes.
True. It can't change. It's restricted by its environment. Same building, same traditions, squares, playing fields.
Wait a moment, Arthur. I'll get Kiki in. We'll clear away.
I'll give you a hand.
Oh, thanks, Jean. Kiki, bring the trolley in, please.
Sure. Yes, madame, I am here now.
When did you come out, John?
At 45, 6 years ago. Force majeure, old major.
And you, Arthur?
At 50, same as Baz. 2 years ago in my case, 3 in his.
I'll serve the sweet. Where's the cream?
God alone knows why an RPC half-colonel is thought to be past it at 50.
Yeah. I have forgot. I will get the sweet dishes.
It's dead men's shoes otherwise, Basil, isn't it?
I hope you all like this sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
What age were you made a major at, Tom?
Young, 33. Young for sapper.
I have the dishes, madame.
Put one each end of the table, please.
Tom was a high flyer, all right.
So what's the highest rank a sapper can get to?
Oh, it's something I've forgotten, darling.
Gordon was a general. Oh. Usually it's a Major General, head engineer in chief.
Sounds like a man who drives a steam train.
Yeah. I will now do the cafe, madame.
Oh. I like do the cafe. Like doing the bank.
Kiki's English is improving, believe it or not. Come on, Arthur. Garrison life in the 1960s. Was it the same as in the 1860s?
Well, except for methods of transport and communication, yes. People are different. Even soldiers change. But the formalities remain.
And that goes for the lady wives of the officers and gentlemen. The formalities remain the same for them. Oh, some find it easy to fit in. They know what they're in for and enjoy the job. But others find it very hard.
Like Sheena. Sheena could never have fitted in. She found the whole milieu ridiculous and alien. With her upbringing, I see that now. Her family were Anglo-Irish Protestants and aristocrats who lived in their own wild way in the Vale, the Golden Vale of Tipperary. It is a long way to Tipperary from anywhere. I don't think any outside influence ever touched Sheena until she met me.
It's good of you to talk about her, Tom.
Brave. Glad you have. Broken the ice.
I never know how much it showed, but I found garrison life trying, to say the least. The only saving grace was that John disliked it as much as I did.
The worst was with the army on the Rhine. Up the road from this town was escapable from. Huh? If you see what I mean.
I remember rightly, John, you were happiest out on attachment or in some remote hole building a road for tanks never to fire.
It's true, I was. I built log roads all over whole chunks of Wales. They were never used.
I loved Wales, away from all the formalities.
Such as?
Well, you can imagine, I'm sure. Tea parties with the NCO's wife. Cocktail parties with the CO's wife in attendance. Oh. Coffee mornings with your fellow wives, known as bitch bags. Evenings for dinner in the mess. And you always had to be on your best behaviour.
Or make sure you weren't found out.
In a way, it was like being back at boarding school, only married to one of the girl pupils.
Of course, there were the unmarried officers, Jana. Bright 22-year-olds who vowed to stay unmarried dashed about in little sports cars after the birds. And married them, of course. If they didn't marry by 30, they were considered fastidious, shall we say? And were usually just plain lecherous. As if the other chaps' wives drove them mad.
Oh, now, that's a bit of a harsh generalization, you know, Tom.
Perhaps I've been soured by an ancient experience.
Yes. He was lecherous. The Don Juan of the barracks.
Now, far enough, Madge. No further.
Always wore his kilt, swaying at the hips when he got the opportunity, showing off his marvellous legs.
Not a good idea, Judith.
Of whom are we talking?
Well, not Rob Roy, for sure.
Oh, I know all about him, too. Alex MacDonnell.
I've had time to consider Alex MacDonnell in some depth. An amorous cot is an oddity. Although there's Jamie Boswell to prove otherwise. Was Alex genuinely amorous? Did our girls drive him mad? Casanova was hopelessly amorous. Don Juan, that sort of prototype, wasn't. He was a macho hunter of women and a yob with a good background. Not that Alex was a yob. Not that he was all that macho. He was an oddity. Did you know that no woman ever stayed for very long with him? But he liked to hang on for as long as he could. I found that out. Hang on to the married girls, like the Duke of Windsor. They had to be married, you see, or engaged, but never free. So what was Alex really after? Hey?
The suite is lovely, Joanna.
Yes, yes, it's not bad, thanks to Kiki.
Good.
Did Alex have a death wish? You could say that about Don Juan as well. And anyway, cuckolding is bound to be a dangerous game.
Now, look here, Tom. I don't want to seem impolite. I mean, it's your dinner party, your house, and I'm your guest. But
Well, I'm sure none of us want to discuss Alex MacDonald, do we?
I think not. Pointless, in my opinion.
Surely it's up to Tom, not us.
We won't learn anything more than we've always known about Alex. But we might learn something about ourselves.
How about it, Madge?
Not a good idea.
But perhaps necessary by now.
Coming here for small chat wasn't the object of the exercise, was it?
No, it wasn't, John. Mm. In case you've forgotten, let me remind you of what happened to my old man.
We don't need reminding. It was all in the papers.
At the Old Bailey today, Major Thomas Pike was sentenced to life imprisonment for the murder of his wife, Sheena, and her lover, Lieutenant Alex MacDonald. The judge said it was a tragic case of a man consumed.
Ah, coffee. Thank you, Kiki.
And I also have the cognac and the other liqueurs, madame.
We say liqueurs.
Yes, liqueur.
That's right.
How long did you actually serve, Tom?
13 and a bit, then parole. I'm still on it, to be reviewed next month.
They can put him back for a motoring offence. Should someone feel so nasty?
Joanna Padivore.
He knows the story. It's all right. We've always tried to come clean.
It must be awful with parole hanging over you.
Oh, it's surprising what one gets used to, Judith. I did change my name. Most lifers do if they get out, and I never did like Pike. Craig's my mother's name. She's dead. My sentence killed her, they say. My father's alive, but refuses to accept that I'm his son and alive still.
I refuse to be called Mrs. Pike, anyway. I said that it sounded like something out of a nasty card game. Joanna Craig is all right. Kiki, you can leave the trolley, and there's nothing else to do here. Put the dishwasher on, and the world is yours.
Thank you, Mrs. Craig. What do I do with the world now?
If it's not being impertinent, which it is, how did you and Tom meet?
In the House of Correction. Yes, that sounds like a brothel for flagellants. Oh, you explain, Tom.
My last nick was an open one. Joanna came bearing gifts, doing good works. Not at all in character, I've since found.
He's dead right. There was a girl in the office I was working in near the open prison. Now, she was a genuine good worker. She visited the place to talk to the chaps there who had no visitors. She admitted she got a kick from it. And she told me about this lifer called Pike, disowned by all. So I went with her to have a look at him. I was terrified, of course.
After all, you don't meet an allegedly double murderer every day of the week.
I take it that the open prison wasn't too bad.
It wasn't very open, but it was all right.
I used to wonder what it was like for you when you first got there. Went down, I believe, is the expression.
Did you, Arthur?
Oh, in sympathy, Tom. In sympathy.
Tinged with a feeling of I'm all right, Jack.
Oh, shut up. I mean, you see the situation in films and read about it, but that's not the same as the real experience, of course. And that experience must do something for you.
It does all sorts of things.
No, I couldn't take it, I know that. I'd top myself.
Do you ever hear of a lifer doing that, Basil?
Ah. Oh, come to think of it, no.
The one thing the system's keen on and proud of is that lifers don't cheat their sentence. I did think of escape, but for that you need outside help. And I had none, as you know.
Were you kept separate from ordinary criminals, I mean?
I wasn't allowed to mix with the common herd, not for years. 7 years, to be precise.
7 years. 13 years. God, it must have seemed forever.
It often did.
Shall we take our coffee and the drinks into the drawing room? We'll be more comfortable there. Do you mind?
There's a bathroom upstairs earmarked for the ladies. The gents must use the bog in the hall.
Quite right.
We were happy girls and boys in those days. Naughty ones sometimes, of course.
Speak for yourself, Madge.
I always do, dear.
Anyway, as you said, you never meant to encourage Alex, did you, Madge?
What's so amusing, Arthur?
Well, you never showed him the stop here sign, did you? And that was enough for Alex.
I'm surprised you noticed.
Husbands are apt to notice men like Alex.
No, I meant that you were busy elsewhere, weren't you?
Busy? I was always busy.
Aren't you missing the point, Arthur?
He doesn't want to see the point, Basil, so keep quiet.
I've always found some things are best tucked away, as it were. Mm.
This is all mysteriously tantalizing. Do you know what it's about, Tom?
I think so, darling, but it's not for me to say.
I'll come clean, since it's turning out one of those evenings. It was Arthur and I, Joanna.
Oh.
We were both feeling put out, not wanted on the voyage.
What, you and Arthur? I'll be damned. Where was I?
Crikey Moses, he never knew. You were away in a remote hole for a month or so. You wouldn't take Jean with you.
When I was on Barra, was it? Yes, of course. It was quite beautiful there. Jean didn't want to come.
It wasn't so beautiful at Bulford.
No, it wasn't. Bulford? That rings a bell.
It's on the plane, darling. I never thought it all that bad.
I didn't want to go to Barra because you weren't being all that nice to me, John, dear.
Yeah, I remember, yes. I wasn't being nice to myself either.
Madge was being very nice to Alex, though.
Too nice. But I thought it was true love. I really did. Well, I was old enough to know better. Then I found that Alex was a soulless bastard, nothing inside him. After I'd had enough, he tried to hang on by all sorts of subterfuges. You were quite right, Tommy, even though he had other fish to fry. Well, that's another story.
Which is certainly better bypassed, I'd say.
Nobody seems to be drinking. Why?
Because they've empty glasses, dear.
I'll serve the chaps if you do the same to the girls.
Do the refresher.
Judith, as before.
Lovely, thanks.
I passed, Basil. Have a refill.
Mm, don't mind if I do. No, Alex was what we used to call a bit of a bounder. Yes, he did let the side down, you know. Always seemed to me to be a bloody nuisance and insatiable.
Who the hell are you to take such a high moral tone, Baz?
Oh, nonsense. I was only stating an opinion, nothing more.
Arthur, brandy?
Oh, yes, thanks. And a very good bottle it is. Yes, a high moral tone from Basil. Well, well. And what were you doing, Baz, with that fat little piece from around here? What was her name?
Why bring that up, Arthur? For God's sake, think, man.
She was called Mary Ann Smith Sterndale.
Oh, you don't forget a name like that easily.
No, you don't. John, Scotch, Tobermory Malt?
Yes, thanks. Jean and I knew the Smith Sterndales. They were stranded upper middle class, once well off, and then just managing to keep up appearances. Mary Ann was a greedy gal, wasn't she?
No, not at all. Not that I recall.
Oh, balls, Basil. What did you spend the money on, then? Diamonds for Judith? Boy Scouts?
Oh, for God's sake, shut up, Arthur. Can't you see where this is getting us?
Here's to us.
Cheers. Well, where is this getting us? Do you know, Tom?
Oh, yes. I'm all for it.
So am I. We all know about Basil and Marianne and the rest of the business. We all know about Madge and Alex, about me and Arthur, except for John, and now he knows. And John and Sheena, don't forget that. It's doing us good to tell, to bear our wicked little souls.
I think you speak for yourself, Jean.
Of course she does. God, you're as bad as old Arthur. I agree with Jean anyway. We've been bottling things up for bloody years.
Uncorking time. And what do you want to bypass, Basil?
Nothing. I'm saying no more.
Actually, Basil has always been conscience-stricken about that girl. And the rest.
Oh. The rest would have been your first unpleasant duty as a major, Tom.
Yes, an investigation into a discrepancy of £252 on the wrong side of the ledger of the officer's mess wine account.
It's always the mess account, isn't it, where the money goes missing in stories and plays?
That, Joe, is because it's where it can so easily go missing.
Basil paid it back, you know, Tom. And he did suffer.
Oh, my God, it was the only fling I ever had. Once, long ago. Marie-Anne was special. She liked me. She looked up to me. Judith had no time for me then. She went through the motions, but her emotions were elsewhere. No, we were all a bit crazy at that time. I lost my head completely. Oh, all right, I admit it. I borrowed the money. I lived dangerously. Well, for me, that is. I wasn't the only one, was I? There was Alex MacDonald. He was living dangerously, wasn't he? Well, perhaps you're right, Tom. Yes, perhaps he did have a death wish.
Things began between Sheena and Alex when I went off on a course, highly secret, no wives allowed. When I got back, I sensed something was wrong, but couldn't put a finger on it.
Didn't you see the obvious, Tom?
No, I was so blindly in love with her that I could see her beauty and nothing else. Judith took the blindfold off.
Out of sheer bitchiness. Out of envy, jealousy, spite. But I said to myself, if she can betray him, Tom, that is, then, lady, I'll betray you. I was also blindly in love.
And Tom went off and killed her. And him. Not what you expected to happen, Judith, was it?
Of course not. Who would?
Only I didn't kill Sheena, nor Alex, and you all know that, despite what they said in court.
The bedroom was in a state of disorder. Chairs and tables turned over, lamps smashed, the bedclothes on the floor. We recovered three bullets lodged in the walls. Exhibit A, my lord. Mrs. Sheena Pike had been shot in the temple and would have died instantaneously. She was unclothed. Lieutenant Alex MacDonald had been shot twice through the heart. He was also unclothed. The revolver, an Army issue 38 caliber, which belonged to the accused, Major Pike, was beside Mrs. Pike's hand.
They proved, didn't they, Tom, that you went to the flat, had a fight, shot them both. Well, you had the motive. I don't blame you. Never did.
I had the motive, yes, and no alibi. That afternoon, Saturday, I walked back from the mess after lunch and spent the afternoon at home. Saw no one and no one saw me. I wonder what you did that afternoon, Arthur.
I don't remember.
You threatened Alex, didn't you, Tom? Told him what to expect.
And you overheard that, Basil, and gave it as evidence.
Well, I had to, old boy. Coppers were onto me like a ton of bricks.
Somehow it served your purpose, though, to shock me. My counsel put it to you that your evidence wasn't strictly true, that you'd put a certain sort of gloss on it.
I was only saying what I honestly remembered.
Tom, you don't really know a thing about how they died, do you?
Not a thing, Jean.
But, darling, you must know. You killed them, remember?
Of course, Joe, darling. The funny thing is that I don't remember. Because I wasn't there.
Well, Jean's shopped us. Did you mean to, or didn't you bloody well think?
Don't swear at me, Arthur. I knew what I was doing. I'd like to know what really happened, just as you do. I only got to know about John's infatuation with Sheena by hearing John and Alex in our garden. I didn't set out to spy. I was actually on the greenhouse floor, clearing up under the shelves with the door open for air.
My private life's my own, Captain Calthorpe.
Not when it intrudes in this way. Other officers' wives are taboo, MacDonald.
Sheena's told me about you. Is she lying?
No. And I pulled myself up in time. You haven't.
She wouldn't have you, that's all. Sheena's not too choosy, but there's something she didn't trust about you.
Oh, trust. She said I was a cold-fixed MacDonald. She's a willful child, no more. And pretty wicked into the bargain.
I know my Sheena. I'm not so pure and good myself.
You'd better watch your back, MacDonald.
I will. I'll watch it for both Tom Pike and you.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I remember that conversation. He was full of himself.
I told him to watch his back, meaning only that he could get the push from the regiment, suddenly.
How far did it go with you and Sheena?
Oh, nothing physical. It was as if she read my thoughts and decided to play me along for a while, at least. When she saw me acting the poodle, she laughed at me. There was a sort of she-devil about her. Terrible wickedness. You must have known.
It wasn't wickedness in the sense of evil. She was totally amoral. And she had no social or sexual hang-ups or second thoughts about her behaviour.
And what about Alex? He'd swagger up to me at some do or other and whisper things like, what about bed? When he must have known I knew he was with Sheena. We all knew. Mm.
Tom didn't. Tom had to be told.
Sheena was very young, wasn't she, when you married her?
19. I was 30. She died just before her 22nd birthday. I thought she'd be a virgin. She wasn't. There'd been boys in Tipperary. I didn't understand a damn thing about her. It was like trying to get to know a wild animal. Only afterwards, when I had time to reflect and was dead from the neck down, I began to see what I'd taken on and to understand her a bit.
After Judith spilled the beans, did you have it out with her?
Never. I cut off. She got the message. I did think of confronting her and Alex. I'd found out about the flat he had here in town, opposite the Granville Hotel, one of our favourite watering places, as you well remember.
You did confront them. I mean, you must have done.
Oh, do shut up, Basil. No good blustering on.
Judith and I had tea at the Granville often, where you had a good view of the entrance to the flats.
We were making our way there one Saturday afternoon when we saw someone coming along the street. Isn't that Marianne, Basil's platonic friend over there?
It is. She stopped. She's looking around, very furtive. Oh, look, she's gone into the flats. What are they called?
Granville Lodge, aren't they? They're let, furnished. Come on, tea at the Granville. I'd like to watch that entrance.
Ah, oh, this tea is related to gnats.
Awful. Oh. Hello, look, across the street. Bless his cotton socks. Basil.
Oh, is he joining us for tea?
I doubt it. He told me he had to be at Command HQ all day.
Well, it is only round the corner, Judith.
He's stopping. Quick look round. Isn't he funny? Right turn smartly into the entrance to Granville Lodge.
It was quite by chance, Basil. Life is like that when things are going on that shouldn't. Like my being in the greenhouse on the floor.
Don't look so baffled, dear. I never told you because there was no point in the end.
But, Judith, didn't you want to charge in after him?
No, Joanna. As Basil said earlier, my emotions were elsewhere. I found it all funny and a bit sordid. Love nest stuff.
You were bloody jealous, that's all. You'd have liked a love nest with old Tom here.
We should have had one, Judith. It might have changed the course of things. But go on about that afternoon.
I must get back soon, Judith.
Me too, I suppose. Mess night, isn't it?
Oh, I've forgotten. It is.
I think those flats are mostly rented by service types on attachment of some sort to command. A friend of Basil's had one once when he...
Hey, look. Look. Sheena. Turning all heads. It's a beautiful child, all right.
Isn't it odd the way she half smiles to herself and half snarls at the same time?
Is she going in?
Yes, in she goes. Do you know who she meets there?
Well, it must be Alex MacDonald. Why doesn't Tom stop it? Get Alex posted away to the Far East. He must know.
Yes, he knows, but he'll do nothing. I'm sure he thinks she'll come back.
He ought to get her pregnant.
Yes. We'd better go before we see more than we bargained for.
I should, of course, have given her a child, but it would have been against her wishes, and at the time I couldn't make love to her. I'd lie in bed beside her at night, pretending to sleep the sleep of the uncaring, while she really did sleep. I used to wonder if anything could upset her certitude, penetrate her willfulness. She seemed to have no conscience, no qualms about her actions.
But she wasn't happy, was she? She didn't like the way things had gone so wrong.
She told you, did she, John? Not me. You.
She couldn't talk to you. You'd clammed up on her.
Pull up here, John. I want to talk. I can't when you're driving. I don't think you're listening.
Right, Sheena. I'm listening.
Alex is a bastard.
I know. Give him up.
He says he'll shoot himself if I do.
No, of course he won't.
He's wild, like me. We can do anything at all.
You can't. And don't be so proud of it.
Why doesn't Tom do something?
What, exactly?
Well, kick me out. Beat me up. Murder Alex.
Not Tom. He loves you.
But do I love him?
Do you love anyone except yourself?
Who has my beauty? Alex screwed Madge, did you know?
Did he? I didn't know.
He's still after Madge.
He wants you all. Every woman.
I think this Saturday I shall tell him to go away. Madge might be there too. He's asked her. He wants us both.
What's he trying to prove?
He's proving nothing. He's the clan chief. They had all the women.
Well, he's not the clan chief here. He's a Lieutenant RE. Almost the lowest form of army life.
On Saturday, I think I shall give him a surprise.
Mm-hmm. What sort of surprise?
Will you meet me on Saturday? Later, after I've seen him?
Oh, all right. I'll be in the Granville Hotel, about 6 in the bar.
Did you know Alex has a flat just across the road? Mm-hmm. Number 5 Granville Lodge. I'll be there until 6.
So, Alex MacDonald wanted a threesome. Did he tell you about his naughty plan, Madge?
Oh, he didn't put it so crudely. He wasn't a wily Scot for nothing. A nudge and a wink, as they say. The suggestion. Come to his flat on Saturday about 5. He wanted to talk. Sheena would probably be there, and she wanted to see me too. I was going to tell him to piss off.
Oh, steady, Madge.
Then I thought, why not? Why not go there and give him hell? He'll think I've come for the fun, and then he'll find out. And I'd goad Arthur a bit, drop hints, let him know what was up. I tell you, I was being so bloody clever. It's a wonder I'm still here to tell the tale.
But you haven't told all of the tale, have you? Did you, or didn't you?
Sorry, Joanna, I'm not saying. And neither is Arthur, I'm sure.
You're dead right. Less said, the better now.
You've forgotten my appointment with Sheena.
Oh, why? Oh, that's your business, John.
The bar was on the first floor in those days, you remember? Doors had opened onto a balcony where we'd sit, remember? Across the road was the entrance to Granville Lodge, remember? Now, I got there that Saturday at about 5:45. Mike Malloy, the gunner major, remember him, came and joined me on the balcony. It was a balmy evening.
How's tricks, John?
Hard to say, Mike.
I know the feeling. Why weren't you on the BE last week?
They don't seem to trust sappers on battle exercises these days. Can't blame them.
It was a ripe old mess-up. I say, isn't that Arthur Hepperthwaite pounding down the road on your right?
Yes, it is. He looks in need of a pint, about to go up in a cloud of steam.
And he looks like a man with something on his mind. Not coming in here?
No, he's admiring the entrance to Granville Lodge. He's not sure if it is an architectural masterpiece.
He swanned in anyway. What's he got in there? Friends? A dolly bird?
Arthur doesn't have dolly birds. What does he? He does have friends, though.
My God, You flaming spy! Saw me go in, my God!
I sat there so that I could see Sheena come out.
Are things becoming as fraught as I think they are?
They are, Jean. They are.
Mike wandered on about the B.E. cock-up. We had a couple of more pints.
Just gone 5 past 1800 hours. Better sink this and be off. Lady wife awaits.
I must wait. I'm expecting someone. Not lady wife. Good Lord.
What, oh, what?
Well, look. Just coming out. Basil and the Smith Sterndale girl.
Colonel Jenkinson, isn't it?
Mm.
I don't think much of a girl. He's giving her some sound advice by the look of it.
She looks unhappy, scared. Agrees with Basil. Off they go in opposite directions. Hey, look. Coming out now.
Colonel Hepperthwaite with a lady.
Lady wife, Madge. They seem to be in a hurry.
There's something in that building none of them like, I'd say. Something they want to get away from. Mm. Extraordinary behaviour of 5 Regiment R.A. Well, I must be off. Nice seeing you.
Cheers. Bye.
You saw everything there was to see. Almost.
I remember now, John. I thought it was you on the balcony. And you never let on. Not to a soul.
He never told me either. I had to find out myself.
I did see all there was to see, Madge. After 10 minutes or so, I decided that a visit across the road was a must. So I wandered over, take a look. It was a terrible down-at-heel sort of place. Couldn't imagine why anyone wanted to stay there. For what, tenner a week? Alex had some funds, but Basil certainly hadn't. And Marie-Anne wasn't my idea of a sex pot. Flat 5 was on the first floor. When I got there, I found the door wide open. Well, I didn't want to barge in, did I? You know what old Alex was like. Say nothing of Sheena. So I rang the bell and called out to them. No answer. Nothing. Then I began to feel that something was really wrong. So I went in. The sitting room was empty. The door opposite, which I took to be the bedroom, was open. And there was this awful smell of cordite. The bedroom was in a mess. And there was Sheena and Alex, both dead. Both shot. One on the floor and one sprawled across the bed. What could I do? I didn't want to get involved, did I? So I cleared off, shut up the flat, found a phone box and rang the police. Told them I'd heard shots coming from flat 5. And I rang off without giving my name, got home. I said nothing to Jean.
You said nothing. Not a blooming word to a soul.
I wanted to tell Jean, of course I did, but, well, you know, the moment passed.
If you had, we might have saved Tom a bit of trouble.
It would have helped.
I never thought they'd accuse you, did I? And find you guilty?
None of us did.
Now, look here, Tom. For all John knew, you could have done it. You could have slipped in there after Jean and Judith gave up the watch and before John arrived. I mean, there was
Shut
nothing
up,
to stop...
you fool. Keep your hypotheses to yourself, for heaven's sake.
If I'd have done as you suggest, Basil, I'd have had to go by your flat, I take it.
It was hers, Marie-Anne's.
Tell it to the Marines, Baz. The Smith-Sterndales hadn't a penny between them.
They married her off to a drunk with money. They were so desperate. And Basil... Why did you come scurrying out that evening?
Because we were below Alex's flat. We heard the shooting. Marie-Anne got the wind up, so we beat it.
Followed by Madge and Arthur.
It's obvious, Madge. You were in Alex's flat. You had to be. And probably you too, Arthur. Did you kill them, Arthur? Or did you, Madge?
I never went in. I rang the bell, heard the shots. Madge came out.
So, Madge, tell me the truth. I deserve to know it, don't I?
The truth. I told Arthur at the time. He told Basil. We've never said a word to each other about it since.
Go on, Madge.
I got there later than 5, nearer 5:30. It's a wonder I didn't bump into John. Alex let me in. He was in his dressing gown. Nothing else underneath, I'd say.
Sheena's in the bedroom. Come through and join us.
Join you?
Aye, join us. We were having quite a nice row.
He wants to screw you, Madge, and make me watch.
Don't you ever think before you open your mouth, woman.
You can have him, Madge. I'm through with the bastard.
You filthy Irish git.
Now, what will you do now? Will you shoot yourself for love of the Irish git?
I wouldn't stick a pin up my bum for you.
I brought you something. It's not a pin, you'll see. It's Tom's shooter, and it's got 6 bullets in the chamber.
She's mad. She's mad.
For God's sake, no. Give it to me, Sheena. Don't point it at me. Put the safety catch back on. Sheena!
Oh, no, no. For God's sake, Sheena. What have you done?
I fired at the wall and hit it.
Now you've had your fun. Give me the bloody gun. Give it to me.
No. No! No!
Oh, my God. What have you done? Everything's going dark.
Oh, what have you done? You've killed him.
I think I have. In the fight, the gun went off.
Alex! Alex!
I've 1 bullet left, Alex. 1 for myself. A Russian roulette bullet.
Don't. Stop. Stop.
Answer the door, Madge.
I will if you'll put the gun down.
In a moment. 1 more time.
I'm going for the police, Sheena.
Oh, my God.
Terrible business. Monstrous. Madge was devastated. You ought never to have married her, Tom. She was a walking disaster. So was bloody Alex.
Yes, Arthur.
We had our careers to think of, Basil and myself. Seemed to us your chances would be blighted anyway. Before the trial, I mean, when we didn't think you'd be sent down.
So we had to keep things under our hats. And you can't blame us, old boy. Anyone would have done the same. What else could we have done? I mean, without getting involved. We reckoned the whole thing would blow over once the Sunday papers had done with it. I mean, do you remember the News of the World? Army love nest killing? Well, there seemed no point in us adding to the chaos. No point.
That was the form. The old bill would go for a crime of sordid passion, a suicide pact or something, and then we'd all breathe freely again.
And cast your mind back, Tom, to how dicey things were at that point of time in the service.
Yes, Basil.
We hadn't much faith in the future then. You'd got your majority, you were all right, Tom, whereas we hadn't a clue as to when we'd get promotion, if it had ever come to that, or be told to take an early retirement on the captain's pension.
That was too blooming true. Mm. So Basil and I went into things, had a get-together without old Madge. She wouldn't even mention the subject. And we thrashed things out and decided if it came out about Madge being there and me outside the flaming door and old Basil in the flat below with his paramour, our careers would go for a burn.
Yes, they certainly would. So I saw to it that Marianne said not a word. Well, not that she wanted to. She was sort of knocked out by things and she never was very bright. So I took a deep breath and packed in the flat and waited for things to blow over.
It looked as if they would, too. It was a month before they actually arrested you, wasn't it, Tom? That was the last thing we expected. That came as one hell of a shock to us, that did.
Yes, you could have knocked me down with a proverbial feather. But then, we reckoned you'd get off. I mean, we couldn't see how you wouldn't. Anyway, the trouble was, having kept mum so far, how could we suddenly up and say what we knew without looking like blithering idiots or potty liars? I mean, we had no option but to keep quiet. You see that, Tom, don't you?
Tom, before you strangle my husband and Arthur, may I give Basil a piece of my mind?
Yes, by all means.
Do you realize, Basil, that you kept your ghastly, cowardly behavior from me for 18 years? 18 years! I don't care about your mean little peccadillo with Marianne. Ridiculous name. I never did. But the rest fills me with contempt for you. I always suspected you knew something. You always said you knew nothing. You swore it. But Jean and I saw you enter that place on that Saturday, so the doubt was in the back of my mind from the beginning. I should have persisted until you came clean. But I let things drift on. But you lied to me then, and you kept the lie inside you like some festering ulcer. If I had known, I would have gone to the police, and you knew that. You knew that my affection for Tom would send me to them. My affection for the truth would have sent me too, but that you didn't care about. I despise you. I can't bear to live with you any longer. So I'll make my arrangements and leave you.
Well, let's
stay here the night, if you like.
Now, Madge, you.
What? What about me?
Can I believe you?
Believe me, you have to. Tom, why not?
I don't have to, Madge. Others may agree with you or not, but we'll come to that. Sheena could have behaved as you said, and a fight with a loaded 38 is a dangerous gambit. But you could have had the handgun, got it somehow, and shot Alex, whom you hated.
No, Tom, no.
And then got rid of Sheena. Who's to tell?
I told you the truth.
Madge, you've had 18 years to get used to whatever truth you decided to stick with in silence. So by now, it must have become the real thing.
Well, of course she didn't kill them. Don't be such a fool, Tom.
Perhaps you were in on it too, Arthur. You and Madge killed them, a combined op. As you said, Sheena was a walking disaster, bad for the regiment, and you must have loathed Alex. So you followed Madge into the flat.
You're saying awful things, awful things.
You did awful things to me by your silence.
But we didn't mean to, you know.
Basil, what about you? Do you think he did it, Joanna?
No, you're dotty. How could I? I was with Marie-Anne when we heard the shots. You know I was.
Again? We only have your word for it, Baz. First you took Tom's gun, so it would fix him. Then you told your girl you were going out for some fags and you nipped upstairs. And probably with Arthur and Madge as accomplices, you shot Alex, then Sheena, and carefully left the gun on the floor.
That is a slander. I am not staying here to be slandered another moment, and neither should Arthur and Madge.
Go, if you wish. Joanna and I are only pointing out that since you've admitted your involvement in the deaths, we only have your word for it that that's how it happened. The only thing we know for certain is that all three of you were in the building at the same time.
You see, Tom may think of being given a pardon, so he may want to put the story up to the judiciary. We have witnesses, have we not? And anyway, the whole thing is on tape.
What? Oh.
Yes, that's why I got you in here after dinner. The judiciary hate being proved wrong, of course, but they may well be forced by what we give them to reopen the case. What then they do about you, Madge, or Arthur and Basil, I have no idea. And you, John, you'll have to say about finding the bodies.
Yes, I'll get a ticking off. Madge would be done for perverting the course of justice, as they put it. Arthur and Basil would be done as accomplices to the crime.
Yes, of course. Did you ever think of that, Madge?
I thought of all sorts of things, Jean. Was this what you both intended, Tom?
Oh, we hoped we'd touch on the truth. We didn't expect to get right to the heart of the matter. How could we?
It was really you two, Jean and Judith. You started the ball rolling when you brought up the events of what novelists used to call that fateful Saturday. That was what we needed.
I feel like Judith said. I should have done more, too. Perhaps I should have hounded you, Basil. Got at you about why you and Marie-Anne scurried out of Granville Lodge. And the thing was, Tom, I never for a moment believed the prosecution's case against you. I was sure there was no case. Sure, you never would have murdered anyone.
The judge took against me, Jean. The police swore I said things I never said. The jury were prepared to be led to a guilty verdict.
Look at you, you three. The unholy trinity. Is it slowly dawning on you that you may have let yourselves in for a rough ride? Well, do say something, if it's only goodbye.
Goodbye. We should leave, Arthur.
Yes, good idea.
Once you saw the case was going against Tom, why didn't you come forward, Madge? You never lacked for courage, and you seemed distressed for Tom.
My distress was for myself. I'd lost my nerve. I want to go home, Arthur, now.
Right, yes, good idea. Come on, Basil, you're growing roots.
I'll pull up my roots. Have to. And since Judith has washed her hands of me, I'll clear off. Go far away.
Try Hong Kong, Basil.
There's a Middle East job I can have any time. Won't be much fun. Bloody hot. But we'll be away from here and safe. We'll see ourselves out. Good night.
I'm so sorry to end like this after so many years.
Oh, don't let's get sentimental, old girl.
Good night, Judith.
Have you recorded it all, Joanna?
No, of course not. It was an inspired idea. And it helped to put the frighteners on our threesome, you must agree.
Put the frighteners on me, too. Oh, God, the things I've left undone. I should have said what I saw.
Yes.
Just that. Not been my usual secretive self.
Spilt milk and all that, John, dear? Nothing will help Tom now. But at least he knows the truth.
You didn't really mean what you suggested, did you, Tom? About Madge and Arthur and even Basil doing it.
No, I just wanted them to see where they'd landed themselves by being truthful 18 years too late.
Sent them off with a flea in their ear anyway. Will you go for a royal pardon?
In a month's time, my parole period is over. My sentence will be completed. Unless things go madly wrong between now and then, I won't bother with the pardon. Well, think of what I'll have to go through to get it. An exhumation of a long-buried corpse, bones, that's all. And the memory of the stench, no. It's not worth it.
No, I suppose not. Tom will have to remain one of the unsung martyrs to injustice. They are legion.
Joanna.
And enjoy the rest of his unmartyred life.
That was The Old Pals Act by Frederick Bradnam, with Michael Graham Cox as Tom Craig, Joanna Mackey as Joanna Craig, John Moffat as Basil Jenkinson, Judy Franklin as Judith Jenkinson, Nicholas Courtney as Arthur Hepperthwaite, Joe Kendall as Madge Hepperthwaite, Lawrence Payne as John Calthorpe, and Jean Trend as Jean Calthorpe. Sheena Pike was played by Elizabeth Ryder, and Alex McDonnell and Mike Malloy by Vincent Brimble. The Old Pals Act was directed by David Johnston.